So, did we do much shopping last month?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. About 20 minutes after the opening bell, we're going to ask, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now, average of about a quarter to a third of a percent. The S&P down a quarter of a percent, NASDAQ about four-tenths of a percent. The Dow off 29 points at 10,544. Markets in Europe are mixed right now. The FTSE's up. The other two in Frankfurt and in elsewhere in Europe are down as well. And China's central bank in Asia raised a key interest rate for the first time in 5 months. Asian shares closed mostly lower today, and the Chinese shares were down about 2%. We've been getting retail numbers that show, for the most part, a better holiday season than last year. Macy's, The Gap, and Costco all reported higher retail sales, but fashion chain Limited Brands saw numbers fall slightly. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us from a very icy and snowy Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So when you look at these December sales figures collectively, I mean, what's the takeaway there?
What we're seeing is sales were solid. They weren't spectacular, but they were solid during the holiday season, something we kind of knew going into it, and certainly better than the abyss we were falling into a year ago. Hard not to do well off of last year's numbers. That said, retailers also really cut back on their inventories and didn't do as many fire sales as they did a year ago, not as many promotions, which means their bottom line actually is even better than these numbers would suggest. So their profits are going to look even better than these upward surprises. Now, remember, some of these upward surprises on the retail sales figure are that they didn't drop as much for some stores as they thought as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. Expectations. Considering a 10% unemployment rate, Diane, I mean, these numbers look pretty good.
They look pretty good. They're well in line with what we expected to see, an increase from a year ago after, you know, frankly, we just fell into the abyss a year ago. That said, we're, you know, going into the year with some momentum, but not enough to really bring down that unemployment rate. And that's where the divide is between many who seem to be fairly optimistic on Wall Street and those who are still feeling in the doldrums on Main Street. And that's going to be the theme, unfortunately, for the bulk of the year.
Now, let's talk about unemployment very quickly, Diane. The Labor Department says initial jobless claims rose by just 1,000 filers last week, and then we're expecting this big employment report tomorrow. What are you using to make your best guess as to what we'll see?
Well, we saw a major slowdown in layoffs by the ADP report earlier in the week. We also saw the Small Business Survey for the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, come out with an early release saying that employment likely did edge over the zero mark. I think we are going to see, because of seasonals as well, slightly more than zero, but anything less than 50,000 is frankly not statistically different than zero. The good news is we seem to be firing almost at the same pace we're hiring now. It's better than we were a year ago when we were losing almost 750,000 jobs a month, but it's not, again, enough to really make people feel good about the economy.
Sure. Diane Swonk, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. The FDIC is expected to consider a new way to rein in executive pay. Its board is scheduled to vote next week on a proposal that would link salaries to the fees banks have to pay into federal deposit insurance funds. The Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us with that story live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So how's it going to work?
Well, banks that base executives' pay on quick profits that are made from risky behavior would have to pay higher fees, but banks would pay less if they had clawback provisions that allowed them to take back executives' bonuses if they were based on risky trades where the banks lost money.
And do economists think this would work and actually curb executive pay?
Well, I asked William Isaac about that, a former chair of the FDIC. He says we don't need more rules. We need bank regulators to monitor banks more actively.
I'd rather have some assessment and debate with the bank about what they're doing, and rather than simply have black and white rules that the bank can find a way to avoid.
And the regulators would be assessing things like the quality of the loans and the quality of the bank management.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer with us live from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, January 7th, 2010, at marketplace.org. The European Commission has taken its first major step toward building a satellite navigation system. This morning, more than $1 billion in project contracts were awarded to the companies for the construction of this network called Galileo. As Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard reports, the system is designed to challenge the dominance of GPS.
The Commission awarded the contracts to German, French, Italian and British companies. They've been asked to build 14 satellites and launch 5 Russian-made Soyuz rockets. The Europeans want Galileo so they have their own satellite navigation system, free from American control. They also believe that Galileo will be more accurate than GPS. But the system will be costly, $7 billion at least. European taxpayers will foot the entire bill after European companies failed to back the project. Science writer Barry Fox is not a Galileo fan.
If independent commercial companies don't want to fund Galileo, that probably tells you all you need to know about the commercial viability of Galileo.
Galileo is expected to be up and running within 5 years. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We talked about those retail numbers pretty much better than what people were expecting. Consumers did a little more holiday shopping. But it's still been a tough stretch for retail companies and probably will be for some time to come, as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Here's the thing. Even if Americans are starting to buy more stuff, they haven't gone back to their old spendy ways. Emanuel Weintraub is a retail consultant. He says they probably won't start anytime soon.
There is an insufficient amount of consumer credit availability and spending availability to support the number of retail outlets that exist.
He says companies will have to close some of their stores or shrink them to get more in line with what he calls the new normal. And then there are the stores that might go out of business altogether. Wayne Hood follows the retail sector for BMO Capital Markets. He says some companies would have gone out of business ages ago, but banks keep giving them credit. He mentioned places like Sears and the discount clothing store Bon-Ton.
You know, others as well. Well, here we are a year later, and once again, they've survived.
He says some of those stores could get bought by bigger, more cash-rich competitors, but some of them will just go the way of last year's fashions and disappear. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Florida's Governor Charlie Crist is touring a couple of aerospace facilities on the state's Space Coast today. He's looking for alternative employment opportunities as NASA prepares to turn its 3 remaining space shuttles into museum pieces. Now, just yesterday, Endeavour was rolled out to the launch pad for a scheduled February 7th launch, but a separate clock is counting down to the end of the shuttle era. And as Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports, there are just now 5 more flights to go.
3, 2, 1, solid rocket ignition, and liftoff. Liftoff on a voyage to the future.
Worries about a future without the shuttle program are taking on new urgency, with 7,000 Kennedy Space Center workers facing unemployment in the coming year. And the fallout could hit another 12,000 whose livelihoods depend on those jobs, from fast food to health care. Frank DiBello is leading the state's post-shuttle development efforts. He says it's not just Florida that stands to suffer from the loss of so many high-tech jobs.
To not preserve those would be ceding U.S. leadership in international space exploration. And I don't think the White House wants to do that. I don't think anyone in the country wants to see that happen.
No matter what President Obama decides about the country's future in space, it could be at least a decade before America is ready to send astronauts into orbit again aboard its own rockets. That's about as long as the Cape Canaveral area languished after the Apollo moon flights ended. But DiBello says times have changed now that everything from telecommunications to national security and climate research depends on space.
Space is pervasive in our everyday lives, and its applications advance the technologies being applied in these other areas.
DiBello is busy promoting workers he hails as innovative, disciplined, and safety conscious, but he concedes that nothing can replace the size of the workforce that's been needed to support the shuttle program. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
When the Alabama Crimson Tide and Texas Longhorns take to the field tonight, we're going to find out which college football team is the best in the nation, or at least the best is determined by the bowl championship series. The BCS system has been criticized for shutting out smaller schools with pretty strong teams, but now fans are really lobbying for a playoff. Brett Neely has more.
Some college football fans will see this ad during Thursday's game.
By Wesley, inside the 30, and Wesley.
It shows players from Boise State and Texas Christian University. Both had perfect records this year. The ad asks why neither team could play in the championship. For years, fans have been lobbying for a college football playoff system. Now, they're actually lobbying.
Playoff pack is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That's right. A political action committee is raising money to support candidates who will dismantle the current BCS system. Bryson Morgan is the group's treasurer. He says only Congress, which held hearings about the BCS system last year, can help.
The way Washington works, unfortunately, is that oftentimes you're not heard on Capitol Hill unless you have a little bit of money to back that up.
It's not just team spirit that's motivating Playoff PAC. A playoff system could mean millions in ticket sales and TV rights for lesser-known schools, says Alan Sanderson at the University of Chicago.
It's all about how can we get our nose under the tent, too, to get some of the spoils.
Bill Hancock is the executive director of the BCS.
We know there's opposition from a few minority groups, but the majority favors what we're doing, and we're going to continue.
Hancock says Congress probably has more important things to deal with. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Got those first-time jobless claims numbers this morning. We told you about up just about 1,000. A lot of folks using it to gauge the pace of the economic recovery. Employment may be a key, but there are many other factors that we're looking at as well when forecasting the economy in 2010. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to give us his take on how the year will fare. Happy New Year, Bob.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Steve.
So put on your soothsayer's cap and tell us what you think is going to happen to the economy this year.
Ah, well, if I knew that, I'd be a very wealthy man. What I can tell you is the recovery is not likely to be as vigorous as we normally get. Remember, Steve, this economy is still on steroids. Short-term interest rates are low. The Fed is still buying up lots of debt, including mortgage-backed securities. And the fiscal stimulus still hasn't even peaked. The real question is what happens when the Fed tightens and the stimulus ends. And to tell you the truth, my biggest worry is aggregate demand. Firms won't even be making major investments if they're worried about who's going to buy the stuff they produce. Most of all, one out of five Americans is unemployed or underemployed.
Okay. In light of that, where does the Dow go in 2010?
Well, big global companies are going to continue to do well. But that's mainly because foreign markets, apart from Japan, are showing signs of solid recoveries. I think they will do well. Global commodities will also be good bets, given China's voracious appetite. But I am concerned about smaller businesses and also about price-earnings ratios in some of these bigger businesses that just seem to me already very, very high, out of whack.
And so what does a government do, Bob? I mean, less involvement, more involvement by Uncle Sam? Where's Uncle Sam in all of this?
Well, there's a great ideological debate right now, but it's really a matter of timing. If the stimulus ends and the Fed tightens too soon, we could be back in recession. But if they go on too long, we face inflation for the foreseeable future. But the biggest danger, in my view, is a fallback into recession. So hopefully the stimulus will keep going and the Fed will keep a loose rein.
All right. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, current professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, scientists at Imperial College in Britain are researching a new synthetic non-alcoholic drink. It'll give you a mild buzz, but no hangover. They're also trying to develop an antidote that would sober you up. The group is headed by the former British drug czar who was canned from his job for criticizing his government for the way it classified some illegal drugs. Now, that could be a problem, since the concoctions would likely need drug classification from the British government. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online and get the podcast while you're there, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.